I believe that Psalm 23 needs rescuing. Psalm 23 is called in the Holly Bible Handbook the best-loved chapter in the Old Testament. The Bible for Dummies commentary calls it the most famous psalm in the English language. The NIV Bible commentary says of it as one of the most charming and beloved of the psalms. It's described in another place as having profound simplicity and matchless beauty. Nonetheless, I believe Psalm 23 needs to be rescued from the funeral home and from our walls. You see, Psalm 23, above all, is a psalm for the living. While it has provided comfort to countless people in times of death, Psalm 23 is really a song meant for the living. It's a dynamic expression of the Lord's benefits in the lives of those who trust in Him. It is a song of trust of David. One writer said it speaks of God's persistent, loving protection in the dangers of life. Bernhard Anderson said this, "Here is a poem which children have learned by heart, which has sustained the mature in the perplexities of life, and which has been a peaceful benediction on the lips of the dying. No single psalm has expressed more powerfully man's prayer of confidence to the God whose purpose alone gives meaning to the span of life from womb to tomb." He goes on to say that the psalmist does not espouse here an anemic faith which turns away from the experiences of life, but rather that like a shepherd guides his sheep into right trails, God has been directing his life along a course which leads to fulfillment. Psalm 23, again, is a dynamic expression of the Lord's benefits in the lives of those who trust in Him right here, right now. Before we look at the individual verses of Psalm 23, I think we have a tendency many times to romanticize the shepherd and to romanticize the sheep. We get this picture in our minds of a bucolic pastoral scene, a shepherd meandering through the hills with his little flock coming behind him. As we read in the scripture about shepherds, especially in the life of David, a shepherd himself, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 to 37, he tells us that he faced and killed bears and lions to protect the sheep. To be a shepherd was a hard job. It was a dangerous job. It was a dirty job. I think we as well romanticize sheep. But many tell us that sheep are described this way, weak, defenseless, foolish. They wander away. One writer said they are helpless and stupid. If we were to choose an animal to compare ourselves to, we might choose a lion because of its majesty and strength and power. We might choose an antelope or a gazelle because of their grace. We might choose a leopard because of their stealth and their speed. Yet David compares himself to a creature weak and defenseless and foolish. But he takes God to be his provider and his preserver and his guide. Psalm 23, one commentary tells us, explores all the aspects of human life. Peace and peril, the possibility of evil, the prospect of good, times of invigoration of the soul, times of ominous gloom, the experience of following, and a life of stable security. David, looking back on his experiences, writes this song, this Psalm 23. It's the song of one who knew all that life could bring, all that you and I experience as well, pain and joy and sorrow and happiness and deprivations and fullness, fear and triumph. Psalm 23 is the fruit of a mature experience with God. David begins in verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." Notice that David says, the Lord is my shepherd, not a shepherd or just any shepherd. David claims to be in relationship with this shepherd. He claims to be in relationship with the Lord. Speaks of a personal relationship. John 17:3, Jesus describes eternal life as a personal relationship with God. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. David is in relationship with the Lord. He is in the relationship with his shepherd. And because of that, he says, I shall not be in want. Because the Lord was David's shepherd, his needs were met. He lacked nothing. All the needs of body and soul and spirit were taken care of in his shepherd. The New Living Translation translates it this way, I have everything I need. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, the commentary, tells us that I shall not be in want is emphatic. Literally, it means I want nothing. The implication is that what David doesn't have, he doesn't need. Perhaps it's not good for him. Perhaps it's not the right time. God supplies everything he does need. Paul tells us that whatever our lot, God can make us content with it in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 12. Second thing David tells us in verse 2, the first part of the verse, is that he makes me lie down in green pastures. The good shepherd nourishes us, the nourishment of the word of God. Green pastures are always fresh, always rich, never exhausted. One who follows the Lord does not lack spiritual nourishment. McGee tells us that a hungry sheep will not lie down, but when a sheep is lying down, it meant that their tummies were full. One who follows the Lord does not lack spiritual nourishment. The Word of God is our milk and our meat, according to 1 Peter 2:2 and Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12. To 14. The good shepherd nourishes us. Thirdly, in the latter part of verse 2 and the first part of verse 3, we read this, he leads me beside quiet waters, he restores my soul. The shepherd gives us rest and peace. Rest for the soul. God restores the spiritually fatigued. One who follows the Lord finds forgiveness and peace. Romans 5:1, Paul tells us, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Because we have peace with God, we can have peace with others. Paul urges us in Ephesians 4:32 to forgive others because we have been forgiven such a great debt by Jesus Christ. The good shepherd gives us rest and peace. God restores the soul of the spiritually fatigued. God restores the one who wanders from the way. Our examples are David and Jonah and Peter and others in the scripture. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd nourishes us. The shepherd gives us rest and peace. Next, the shepherd guides us in the right way. The latter part of verse 3. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God's reputation is at stake when we sin. We offend him when we sin. So he points us in the right direction. He knows the right path to bring us home safely. The shepherd leads us in the right way. The Lord loses none of his sheep, but guides them in the right way. If we sin, we offend him. We tarnish his reputation for the sake of his own name as well as for our own good. He points us in the right direction. Next, in verse 4, the good shepherd protects us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The valley of the shadow of death is literally the valley of deep darkness. the blackest darkness, one writer said. It's a place of great danger and actually of death itself. Sometimes the straightest paths go through the darkness. We trust Him in the darkness. We trust Him in the difficulties. We do not need to be afraid, even in places of danger and places of sorrow. The valley of deep darkness, we all live in the shadow of death. The most important thing we can do is to be sure we know the One who has conquered death. The Lord is my shepherd who meets all my needs. The shepherd nourishes us. He gives us rest and peace. He guides us in the right way. He protects us. Now the picture changes in verses 5 and 6. In verses 4, God is like the shepherd. 1 to 4, God is like the shepherd who looks after us in good times and bad. Now in verses 5 and 6, God is like a gracious host who invites us to enjoy the elegance and security of His house. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. At God's table is fullness every day. He refreshes us every day. A host would anoint the head of a guest to refresh them and to soothe them. God gives us refreshment for every day. In Him we have fullness. In Him we have fruitfulness. In Him we have refreshing. And finally, verse 6, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David's response, surely goodness and love will follow me. Surely is literally nothing but goodness and love will follow me. God's blessings on His people remain with them no matter what their circumstances may be, one writer said. God's goodness and faithfulness will accompany us not only in life, but also in death, into the life to come. God's love will follow David all his life, everywhere. Well, God provides for His sheep satisfaction and security, restoration, guidance, protection and abundance, and a home. Whatever our hunger, God can satisfy it. Whatever is disturbing our peace, God can bring security. To the spiritually weary and to those who have fallen into sin, God can provide renewal and restoration. To those who need guidance or are facing an important decision, God can provide guidance. To those who are afraid, He provides protection. To those who dwell at His table, He supplies abundance. David is satisfied, secure, restored, has guidance, protection, abundance, and a home. What hunger do you feel? God can satisfy it. What is disturbing your peace? God can give you peace. What weariness do you feel? What restoration from sin do you need? What direction from God do you need? What are you afraid of? What do you lack? Go to the shepherd, the One who cares for you. Lord, thank You for being the good shepherd, the One who takes care of all of our needs, who nourishes us, guides us, directs us, takes us through the dark days, even the darkest of days, a place where we can find a home and fullness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.